Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Lauren Razor of Razor Law. I am happy to speak with you this evening. It's August 3rd, 2017. The weather is good. It's in New York anyway. It's a great summer. Those of you who haven't gotten to get out, taking a short vacation, vacations are really good. Those are the things that you need to regroup, rest, and relaxation. So even if it's going for a walk or it's I'm learning a lot these days in terms of taking care of yourself. It's important that you truly take care of yourself. You know, more important than anything else is health you know, being able, simple things like putting socks on as you get older become issues, you know. So, you know, being physically fit and being healthy, not only in the spirit, but body, that is very, very important. The mind is also important, too, to guard against unhealthy thoughts. And it seems like stress is one of the issues that we have in this society. You know, they wondered why people were so much, you know, basically not as stressed as we are now when we have more things. So, you know, it's something that maybe we'll devote some time to understanding stress. And how it impacts lawyers. I mean, that is one of the things that is most common that gets to lawyers most often are stress-related issues. They are the issues of you know, believing you can resolve everybody's problems. The lawyer is no different than a doctor, you know, you want to be able to resolve problems. So, you know, stress, dealing with people's issues and legal matters and being the individual to assess and try to resolve, because people come to you as lawyers. That's the most important thing. You know, oftentimes they don't come to you under the best circumstances. They come to you when there are problems. And, you know, your goal is to do your best to straighten out their problems. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you do the best job and it doesn't work out as well as you want it to, but you try your best. Hopefully you don't lose a patient or lose a client as a result of that. But, you know, there are pressures that lawyers go through every day. The responsibility is major, and you have the lives of people in your hand every day. And, you know, they come to you so that you can resolve their unhappy, you know, their issues. Someone the other day, just on the side before I get into what's actually happening today, and I'll talk about Donald Trump and all of these, the Robert Mueller, the issues surrounding that. I'm hoping that, you know, we can get into what are the legal issues with the special counsel that was appointed. The fact that he has, I'm reading now that the grand jury subpoenas issued in relations to the Russian lawyer Trump Jr. meeting sources. I have this belief that potentially Robert Mueller is probably going to get fired. and then you have another level of obstructing justice. But it's really pretty much a shame as to the undermining of the American system completely. We're not another type of government. We are a government of different rules. We're not a monarchy, so you just don't rule. Whatever you say doesn't rule. We have a Senate, a House. We have checks and balances, and now we see strongly. You know, sometimes you say God is good. We now see strongly how strong is the American government. That's how it's important right now in history for us to fight against all of the things that are put before this American people. This is important to understand that our system of government is on trial right now, and it's whether we can have a sitting president undermining a system of justice, a system of government, and creating another system of government. So that's really what's happening. We're on trial, and undermining, firing people because they don't like you don't like their decisions. They're investigating you, so you end up firing them. Basically bully the staff members, underlying dealings with a foreign government, which apparently is not a friendly foreign government, no matter how much Putin can't even look Donald Trump in the face, undermining the American government by involving yourself in another government. I mean, just on its face, if it's true what Donald Trump Jr. did when he felt that there was information on Hillary Clinton in order to win an election, colluding with another government, especially enemy government, that would be willing to take over our government, is appalling. It is appalling in terms of his commitment to this country. His commitment is to winning, and the commitment is to winning at all costs. Putting the entire country at risk because they have information about an American candidate is incredible faith, and it's the most highest level of disloyalty and not caring. But it's caring about winning. It's not caring about how. Some people come to you, and you may have to turn them down. They may have information. You don't even know if it's a setup. But the fact of the matter is, I believe that Trump is going to fire Robert Mueller somehow. I believe the gentleman, Mr. Rubenstein, is probably going to be fired. So it's a possibility that pretty much everyone surrounding the investigation, 9 chances out of 10, I would predict they're going to get fired. Recently today, they talked about the fact that the president is seeking to reverse. It appears that this president is looking at how to dismantle the spirit of affirmative action. The spirit of affirmative action and the law of affirmative action, it appears that the president is looking to discontinue funding for schools that allegedly discriminate against white males. White males are not part, historically, are not part of a protected class, do not have the history of discrimination. What Donald Trump is also saying is that we don't need to have what you call justice in terms of we need to have, on a statistical basis, the number of people of color to the numbers of people that are in the United States. He doesn't believe that. He believes now that white males have been discriminated against, and that's really not the law. It doesn't matter about the law, and but it's not surprising that he's looking to do this, to dismantle pretty much everything that's dealing with people of color, and it's going to be worse. I mean, what he's doing, he's saying he's also trying to limit the number of Mexicans or foreign people coming into this country who can't speak English, who can't, you know, do not have a skill, and he's looking to limit those individuals so that we can allegedly hire Americans. You know, it's the craziest thing because you're not looking at the hiring and the employers who are part of it. So let's see how the employers are when they have to pay American workers a high minimum wage. Let's see what happens, and let's see if that goes over well. You know, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, but these types of discriminatory tactics are just really not unexpected. That's the key. It's not unexpected. It's just we're watching something before our very eyes because we believe that a woman would have been worse than this president. I mean, it's hard to fathom, other than her sloppy mistakes, that her policies would have been so egregious to turn back the clock. We made a decision not to vote against the first woman. We did not want to see the first woman, whether it's Hillary or whomever it was. We did not want to see the first woman president, but we wanted to see the first this guy who doesn't relate to the average person. And I don't care what anyone says, he doesn't relate. He doesn't want to be in the White House. He's got so many places to live. Every president wants to be in the White House. This is the only president that says the White House is like a hellhole. So that's it for that. Today the discussion is, you have the right to remain silent. Everything that can be, that you say, can be held against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney. And if you cannot afford one, you certainly, the courts would have the, are supposed to appoint you a lawyer. This is what we call Miranda warnings, and we will begin by giving my understanding of what I see as a practicing lawyer and what I always see happens. A young man was stopped in the street and was taken into custody. The custody, and this is, I say this because there's so many programs that talk about Miranda warnings. I'm looking at, what is it, law, special victims, law and order. You see all these programs that talk about Miranda warnings. I mean, they're all over. We talked about it. But it appears that we continue, even though we're kind of aware of our rights to remain silent, it is just appears that we don't remain silent. Now, what I'm about to say, many police officers don't like. They want the defendants, but they're alleged defendants. They're saying, well, why shouldn't they be able to talk? Why shouldn't they just say what they believe? Why should there be something that stops them from saying what they believe is the truth? Well, there's a case out there, a United States Supreme Court case called Miranda v. Arizona. Now, let me be thorough about Miranda warnings. One, you have the right. A Miranda warnings is based on the case of Miranda v. Arizona. Miranda warning says you have the right to remain silent. And when you're stopped by the police and they question you, and I'll get into the case law, they will read off, if they're about to question you, they're supposed to read off, you have the right to remain silent. Everything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. You have the right to talk to a lawyer or have him present with you while you are being questioned. If you cannot afford to hire a lawyer, one will be appointed to represent you before questioning if you wish. If you can, you can decide at any time to exercise these rights and not answer any questions or make any statements. Again, these warnings have been in existence since the Miranda v. Arizona Supreme Court case since 1966. But so many of clients, so many of people that are in custody give statements. Now, yes, as a former law enforcement officer, I'm torn about the fact that you want the alleged defendants, you want them to tell the cops, police officers, what happened. You want them to tell the truth. But let's see what happened in the case of Ernesto Miranda. Ernesto Miranda, this was a 1963 case, and it's based upon what he was charged with, the kidnapping. This is Ernesto Miranda was arrested by the Phoenix police, and the case was based on circumstantial evidence of kidnapping and raping an 18-year-old. There appeared to be 2 hours, and this is, you can research it and look it up. There appears to be 2 hours of interrogations by the police officers, and you've seen them on TV. I watch Law and Order. They slam their chair down. They put all of what they do on television, on Law and Order, is intimidation, which is why you have Miranda warnings. It is not the fact that the defendant doesn't want to tell the truth. It's what truth is it? Is it a truth under duress where you just say anything? Are you there all day? Are they calling you names? Are they getting in your face, threatening to beat you up? Well, in Miranda case, Ernesto Miranda, after 2 hours of interrogation, he signed a confession as to the rape charges, was indicted, pretty much convicted, and therefore he said that the statement was that he made was not coerced, and all this other stuff, had no lawyer present, pretty much didn't understand what he was signing. But after 2 hours of interrogation, I can tell you, in police custody, and watch Law and Order, because I like watching their, I mean, I would love to take their confession parts of Law and Order, put it up back to back, and ask lawyers whether what they're doing to get the confession, you never hear the fact that those confessions look as if they're coerced, you know, and none of them, some of them do. But many of them don't ask for lawyers, even when they're coming in. Some of them do. I've seen some episodes where they're asking for lawyers and lawyers show up. The fact of the matter is, some of the tactics that I see even using on those programs are widely intimidating, definitely coerced. Therefore, you don't know what really is the truth. In Miranda, the issue was, before the form was signed, he did not have an attorney present. He did not have a lawyer present to let him know that the statement he made would be used against him. Okay, the confession that he made was offered into evidence. He was convicted, but then the case went up to the Appellate Division and Appeals Court and went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And when it went to the Supreme Court, they said the ruling was due to the coercive. Coercive means that you're kind of forcing people to do things. Coercive nature of custodial interrogation by the police. In other words, the mere fact that you're in that room with one officer in your face and throwing the table around and doing all kinds of things that are done and making you cry and, you know, all of that is what lends itself to why there's a need to let the defendant know, a potential defendant know, that he or she has certain rights, and you have particularly you have the right to know that what you're saying can be used against you in a court of law. And pretty much his conviction was overturned, although many of the Supreme Court justices were not happy with the fact that the conviction up on the Supreme Court was overturned, because they say, you know what, this is police work. If you're telling the truth, you know, and you give a confession to the cops and that's what happens, so be it. I guess they're saying if a police officer has to beat it out of you, you know, it's okay, you know, if you confess. So Miranda v. Arizona pretty much talks about the fact that the tactics used by the police in that particular case was coercive, overreaching, overbearing. You have a right to not say anything. The Fifth Amendment pretty much tells you you don't have to incriminate yourself. The key is that you have a right not to answer questions that will intimidate you. The most important thing about Miranda is it's triggered when you're in custody. If you're in custody and there's interrogation, then that's when Miranda warnings are appropriate and are needed to be given. Custody means a possible formal arrest and maybe even being stopped, where you're stopped on the street and the officer won't allow you to go. You might not have handcuffs on you, but if the officer orders you or tells you, you can't leave. The key is asking the question, am I free to leave? There's certain things. So what do you do if you're in custody? Ask for a lawyer. What do you do when you're in custody? Do not give any statements. Ask for a lawyer. On numerous times, you may not be, you know, you may not be guilty of anything, not at all. But you need to know what your rights are. You need to know what the law is. All of that is important before you give a statement to anybody. So you do have the right to remain silent. And hopefully by donations that I'll receive as I'm going down this road of giving all of this information, I would love to have Miranda warning cards given out all the time at various community groups where you can have in your pocket or your child's pocket something signed saying, I do not waive my rights to having a lawyer. I believe if a police officer sees that in your pocket, that you've already checked the box that I do not waive my right having a lawyer, I think that would do a lot to hold up whether officer would actually question you. Miranda warnings are triggered again if you're in custody in some way or you're not free to leave. In addition to that, it's just triggered by interrogation. So, for example, if there's no questioning, then you don't have to read Miranda warnings if you're not being questioned. The only time you begin to read Miranda warnings is if there will be interrogation, questioning, whatever it is, I hope there won't be threats, but anything that appears to try to get confessions or information out of you, is showing you a picture. If you're not, the cop is not questioning you, he's showing you a picture, and saying, do you recognize that? But trying to elicit some sort of information from you, you have a right to a lawyer. You have a right to remain silent. It happened in the Central Park Jogger case, and talk about underage. It was clear in the Central Park Jogger case. That case took place a very long time ago, but they were released, and obviously there was a movie regarding it, and all kinds of information came out as to the police and the coercive, and people don't believe that the interrogation of a minor is really a frightful scenario. Being there without parents and you're there with a minor, certainly. That gives the law gives you a greater responsibility not to interrogate. You want to be able, when you have someone under the age or interrogation of minors, their parents should be made available. That's clear. And that became clear in the Central Park Central Park 5 case, that the interrogation of minors were coercive. You have to consider the person's age. Do they really understand what you were saying? And those kids confessed to anything because they wanted to go home. And I know our kids always say, I want to go home. I want my parents. And the child who's under the age of 18 should have a right to ask for their parents, and the officers should allow their parents the right to deal with their underage children before anybody consents to interrogation. The entire case was thrown out because of, and again, these young people were intimidated, coerced into making these statements. And it was believed that the officers knew it because what they were saying didn't make sense. If a kid says the person who committed the crime has on a blue shirt, and you know, we already know the person didn't have a blue shirt. You know that this person is not telling the truth about the confession. So anyway, I wanted to let you know that you absolutely have the right to remain silent, and everything you say will be held against you in a court of law. It is important to know and understand your rights, and it's important to call a lawyer if you are in doubt, to call your parents. And I just want to make it clear, the fact that you ask for your parent is not it. You must ask for a lawyer. Have a good week. Stay cool and calm and collective, and I will talk to you next week. Thanks for joining me on Razor Law.